Let me express to you, thank you for being here today. Today, like Brother Jeremy said, would have been a good day to just stay at home. And thank you for coming. And I want to say something on Justin and Jody's behalf. There's two hospitals in Houston that were set on their ear. And they'll never be the same because of you two guys. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. And I want to say that keeping the attitude that they have, and the ever present smile and all of that wasn't something that just jumped on them on their way to St. Luke's or in MD Anderson Hospital. That's something that happened to them long ago, and you were just raised in that. And we thank you for being an example for us. May God bless you. Good to have you here. When Brother Jeremy came to our church as a youth pastor, as we were meeting one day, he made the comment, there's three things that he wants for his kids. He said those three things, he wants them to be connected, he wants them to be committed, and he wants them to be contagious. And I was going to stand up here and speak on his behalf and tell you what all those things mean to him, but I'm not. Brother, would you come do that? You want to come up here? You want to stay down there? There's a microphone right here. Whatever you want, man. We'll make it easy for you. I'm just going to go sit down for a while.
He's running the risk. I'll just take over from here on out. When the Lord did begin to work on my heart to come as the youth minister 3 years ago now, really laid on my heart some scripture. I began to look, and I was studying through the Gospels and Acts leading up to that point. And I remember just reading through the book of Acts, and as I was reading through that, I began to see a pattern, a pattern for discipleship, the way that Jesus discipled those 12 men that he had gathered around him, and then others as well. And that pattern was that these men were first connected with Christ. Now, I didn't come up with these words. You know, all the best ideas are stolen from somebody, right? So I heard these words around, so I thought, well, that's a good label for this process of discipleship. And I began to see that the first thing that happened with these disciples was that they were connected with him. And, we see in the passages where he calls them out from their daily lives, from their, what they were going to do, from their own ambitions. He calls them out to follow him. So they become connected with him in a relationship. And now that's not something I can't connect students. I can't connect people in a relationship with Christ. I can point people to that relationship, but that's something that the Holy Spirit is going to have to do, but we want to point people to that relationship so that they would first be connected in a relationship with Christ. But then Jesus, as he was discipling these men, led them to be committed in this relationship, taught them what it meant to follow him, taught them what it meant to sacrifice, taught them what it meant to go through persecution if necessary. And through that process of commitment, which happened over a 3-year earthly ministry that Jesus had with them. And then in Acts 1:8, we see that Jesus is about to ascend. He's about to return to heaven and turn things over to these now 11 men, Judas having fallen away. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, Jesus is telling these men, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth. And that's really the process, is that they were first connected with Christ in a relationship. Then through a 3-year time of discipleship, led them to be committed to him, committed to his word. And then in Acts 1:8, he unleashes them and calls them to be contagious, to be his witnesses. And that's really what our student ministry is based around, that we want students to be connected into a relationship with Christ, committed to growing in that relationship and following God's will for their lives, and then contagious in their lifestyles, that they're his witnesses in every area of life, in high school, in future jobs, college, marriage, that they're contagious in him. And you see that even in the book of Acts, as Paul takes on people like Timothy, who was a convert of Paul's when, along Paul's missionary journey, was preaching the gospel, and Timothy became a convert of Paul, and then Paul discipled Timothy, took him along with him on those missionary journeys. And then when we get to 1st and 2nd Timothy, we see that Timothy has now been put in charge of a church in Ephesus. And so now he's called to be contagious himself. And so that is really a model that I just saw represented in Scripture, and you can label it however you want, but I just saw that model in Scripture, and I thought, this is the what God is calling me to do as a youth minister and us to do as a church. So that's, I don't know if that's what all you wanted. Or
just go home now. That was good. Thank you, Jeremy. He read my notes. Thank you, brother. Who better to express your heart than you, right? Thank you. Well, during that time when he was expressing that, while I was thinking about those three things, connected, committed, contagious, I thought, was Jesus connected, committed, and contagious? And so for the next few minutes, I'm calling this the C3 Jesus. And I want to spend some time looking at that. Is Jesus, how was he connected? How was he committed? How was he contagious? And what does that mean to us? So let's look at a few things. First of all, connected. We look through the Old Testament and we see where God became connected to man. In the Garden of Eden, when he created Adam and Eve, he became connected. They had a great relationship with one another. God and Adam and Eve had a great relationship. They walked together. They talked together. And then sin messed that all up. They lost that true relationship that they had with the Father. And so they lost that. But here's the kicker to all of that. They were still connected because God was connected to them. And with grace at the forefront of his actions, God removed them from the Garden of Eden. But he stayed connected. He was connected. And then we see that through the course of the Old Testament and the New Testament, that this God connection became flesh in the birth of his son, Jesus. Now, let's look at that together. I want you to open your Bibles to Luke and really kind of go to Matthew first and put your finger there in Matthew. I think it's about 26. And then let's go to Luke chapter 2. And I want to read that account in God's word. Matthew, first of all, and then flip over to Luke. And that's where we're going to read right now. Luke chapter 2. Chapter 2 says in verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from... It's okay to talk about Christmas, right? You know, Thanksgiving is over, you know, and we're... Well, hopefully Thanksgiving's never over. I hope you're still thanking the Lord. Okay, but Christmas is okay today, right? All right. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius or Quirinus was governor. I know you're supposed to say that with conviction because you don't know how to say it either, but I flubbed it. Was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. Clarice and I was at home last night, and the movie, The Nativity, was on. And I know it was a movie a year or so ago, but we didn't get to see it at the movies. But it was on TV last night, and we got to watch it. And it just came alive. It makes Scripture come alive. And we really enjoyed it. And while I'm reading this, I'm seeing her on that donkey saying, "It's time." And Joseph, being the calm and cool guy that you always see him, panicked and started running and looking for a place to stay. And so it was time for her to be delivered. And so she brought forth her firstborn son, verse 7, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And I think we fail to see that they were living out in the fields. They weren't just going out in the day, bringing them in at night. They lived in the field with the sheep. And behold, while they were there, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the King James Version says, and they were sore afraid. Now, you know what sore afraid means, right? They were so afraid, they began to shake so much that it hurt. And they were sore. So they were sore afraid. That's the commentary based on Millerinthians, if you want to look it up. In verse 10 says, "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was, when the angel had gone away from them into the heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that was come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them." Because sin had caused a separation between God and man, that set forth in motion, there was going to be a child would be born, and that was going to be the Redeemer of the world, and his name is Jesus. And that was the first time that we see where God connected with man. Now, imagine with me, if you will, as I was watching that movie last night, at one point, Joseph picked up Jesus in his hand. And he was helping Mary wrap the little baby in those old wadded up clothing, whatever that birthing band or whatever they called it, swaddling clothes. And as he was wrapping, imagine with me, if you will, and I know that most of you, when you hold a little baby, the first thing you do is put your finger in its hand, right? And what does the baby instinctively do? Grabs it. Imagine with me, if you will, as Joseph was holding baby Jesus, and Jesus' little hand wraps around Joseph's little finger. Just imagine that. And in Joseph's mind, he's thinking, how cute, how sweet. But it was even then that Jesus was connecting with mankind. You see, Joseph thought he was holding Jesus. But in truth, it was Jesus who was holding Joseph. He became connected. We see so many times in Scripture where Jesus was connected. We see it at the age of 12. He connected in the temple. He connected with the priest in such a way that he was overwhelming them with his knowledge of Scripture. We see him, as Jeremy said, connecting with the 12 disciples and just connecting with them in their ministry and in their life. And we've known them to become known as the 12 disciples. He connected with simple, ordinary outcasts, if you will. People that no one else would connect with. Jesus connected. Why, he even connected with lepers. When everyone else was shunning and running, he connected. And then, on a cross, at a place called Golgotha, Jesus connected with all mankind. Jesus was connected. Committed. Was Jesus committed? What does it mean to be committed? To be committed is to say, this is something that I am going to see through to the end. This is something that I'm committed to. I didn't matter what happens. I'm going to be there for that. I'm going to be committed to that. Are you a committed person? And if so, if you say that you are committed, does your actions back it? Or is it just words? Are you committed by what you do? But here's the real question. Is Jesus committed? Is Jesus committed? When the Trinity created, in their sovereignty, they knew that man was going to sin. And at that very moment, they set in motion a plan. A plan that would redeem a fallen man back to a holy and righteous God. They set it in motion by saying, this is what we'll do. And we already saw in Luke what they did. They sent Jesus to be that Redeemer. But they made a plan. They committed to the plan. And you know, how many watched football this weekend? You could have overdosed on it, right? As we're looking at the bowl championship series in college football, man, it was a crazy weekend, wasn't it? Man, everybody getting beat. Well, I guess everybody winning too, but half of them got beat, and it was the ones who got beat. You know, the number ones in poor Texas, and those people, but they were. Can you imagine when you look on the sideline and you see the coaches, and in the pros today, when you watch them play today, you'll see the coaches on the sideline have that big cardboard, right? And they have those things written down and all those. Well, I can relate to that in a small way, you know, in coaching high school ball and all. But you always have the plan. You have it set. Can you imagine the time that goes into making that plan? Now, a plan is made for a football game based on three things, I think. First of all, it's based on your scout report that you got from the other team. You know, what do they look like? And then you base your plan on the talent and the abilities of your own players. And then your plan is based on the coaches and the players' willingness to work toward that plan. But a plan is set in motion for the game. And during the course of the game, you may even get to a point to where you might want to do away with the plan because what you're doing ain't working. But you have to commit to the plan. Now, there are some adjustments along the way now. There's a difference between changing the plan and adjusting. Now, coaches adjust. They better. But they work the plan. You stay committed to the plan. So you wouldn't ask your athletes to do something that you haven't prepared for. So you commit to the plan. God put in plan a place that began working in the Garden of Eden of how to redeem a fallen man. We see in Genesis where man sinned, but God committed to the plan. He even chose a nation to be his priestly nation. And through Father Abraham, this nation became a great nation. And we see from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and through the lineage of Jacob, we see a man that was born by the name of Amram. And I know students, history class is terrible. But do you know who Amram is? He had a little boy. His name was Moses. And God used Moses to go and get this priestly nation that was in bondage and to free them. Now, they weren't exactly where God wanted them to be, but he committed to the plan. The nation was freed, and he led them straight to the promised land. And he says, enter and go. And they refused to go. But he was committed to the plan. There were some adjustments that were made. He adjusted along the way, but he was committed to the plan that he began in the Garden of Eden. Now change gardens with me. From the Garden of Eden, go to another garden called Gethsemane. And we see in Gethsemane that not only had God connected with man through Jesus, but now Jesus was at a point now to carry out the plan. And it's at this point that we see the humanness of Jesus having to make a choice to either stay committed to the plan or not. Matthew 26, if you'll look at that with me. I want to begin reading in verse 30. They had just had the Passover meal together. And verse 30 says this, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. And Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and he found them asleep. And he said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me just 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into the temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again and a second time and he prayed, saying, oh, Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. We see here the choice that Jesus had to make, to drink the cup or to not. Let this cup pass, he said. Now, what was the cup? See, the cup was the cross. It was the cross and everything that the cross entailed. It wasn't just about dying. You see, the song says, dying is easy. It's the living that's hard. And Jesus knew what the cross meant. It wasn't just about dying. Oh, ultimately, he knew that that's what was going to happen. But it was more than just that. It was the humiliation that he was going to face. It was the beatings that he was going to have to endure. It's going to be the forsakenness that he's going to sense from his friends as they scatter. It's going to be the back turned and rejection by his Father. Oh, Father, if this cup can pass, let it pass. Verse 42 tells us his choice. He says, oh, Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. My friend, never think for a moment that Jesus was not committed. Never think for a moment that Jesus didn't go full speed ahead and endured what the cross meant. He committed. He surrendered to the will of the Father. But don't you see that ultimately when he committed to the Father, that he committed to you? That he committed to me? He committed to you that day when he says, not only will I drink from the cup, Father, I'll drink it all down to the last drop. And he did that for you and he did that for me. He was committed. He was committed. He was committed unto death. Oh, there were some adjustments to the plan, but he committed to the plan, even unto death. He was connected, and he was committed. Was he contagious? Clarice and I went on a trip to Branson with, I can't call them the senior adults because we went. We're not that, are we? It was the 55 and alive group. But while we were there on the trip, we were at Eureka Springs, I think. And we were sitting there and just minding my own business, getting ready for the passion play to start, you know. And I was just sitting there in the openness. And one of the ladies that was with us was sitting behind us. And she made this comment, you know, I wish I'd have brought my eye drops. My eyes are dry. And she no more said that. Then this left eye went crazy. It felt like somebody had poured sand in it. And it started hurting and it started weeping. And I got my handkerchief, started wiping, and everything was still foggy. And everybody the next day noticed that my eye was like big and red and puffy and wet. And I'm wiping. They're going, "You have an eye infection." And I'm going, "No kidding." And I'm wiping that off. And so they start giving me all these remedies. But they were giving me these remedies from a distance, I want you to know. He's contagious. That might get all over us. And all of a sudden, I felt like the lepers. I knew how they felt when they were hollering, "Unclean! Unclean!" And every time I got on the bus, it was just a vacuum away from me. And so I'm sitting here by myself, wiping it off. And Clarice is going, you know. So I had this contagious stuff going on, they thought. I was contagious. But you know, being contagious is not always a bad thing. You ever hear of somebody that says, "God, man, she's got a contagious laughter." Or, "Man, he has an infectious smile, doesn't he?" And they smile, you smile. They laugh, you laugh. You know, so contagious, being contagious is not all bad. We had a guy on our football team. I don't care what the score was. He would run to the huddle. "Come on, guys, we can do this. We can do this. Come on." And before long, the team catches it. They caught this disease of positive. So they became positive. So being contagious is not always bad. Now, how was Jesus contagious? Let's begin on the very first night that he was born. We saw, as we read in the book of Luke, his account of the birth of Jesus. And we see the shepherds that were in the... They were just minding their own business. They were tending sheep. And then all of a sudden, there was an angel of the Lord right in front of them. And I don't picture him standing right there with them. I picture him up here somewhere. You know, he was before them and there. And then it says that the glory of the Lord shone on them. Now, I don't know what that means. I don't know what the glory of the Lord means. But in my mind, I see light. Do you see light when you think of the glory of the Lord? I see light. And have you seen the movie, the extraterrestrial, the thing with that UFO comes over? And then always, from the belly of that thing, whew, light. And that's how those foreign things come down. But that's how they took people too. Earthlings, whew, up and down. The light. But when he says the glory of the Lord beamed all around them, that means the shepherds and the angel. I don't know about you, but I would be sore afraid. Wouldn't you? And that's why he says, "Fear not. Don't be afraid. I bring you glad tidings. I bring good news. For to you this day is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the King." Good news. And then all of a sudden, a multitude of the heavenly host began praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." He wasn't yet one day old, and Jesus already had an angelic choir concert. Is that contagious or what? He was contagious the day he was born. Jesus' infectious personality had people wanting to follow him in his ministry. And all he said was, "Come, I'll make you fishers of men." And people wanted to follow. But you know what I think the real truth behind Jesus being contagious is? It's the fact that his disciples became contagious. Oh, it took a while. They didn't quite have the understanding. And we saw the day that he was crucified that they did do as he said. They scattered. They scattered. But as he was leaving, as he was ascending into heaven, in Matthew 28:19, we know it so well, he told his disciples to go. He told them to go make disciples. He said to baptize them. And he said, "Teach them. Teach them all things." Now, they didn't understand it quite then either. Until one day in a room, and we see this in Acts, where that room was filled with the Holy Spirit. And all the disciples began to speak in tongues that everyone could understand. Everyone heard it in their own language. They heard the gospel through that language. They became contagious. And that was probably one of the largest revivals that was ever held. Scripture says, and about 3,000 souls were added to them that day. That day. That day. They became contagious. That was 2,000 years ago. And his message is still contagious. That was 2,000 years ago, and people are still being added to that number. His message is contagious. He was, and his message still is. The message of grace, contagious. The message of faith, contagious. The message of mercy, contagious. The message of hope, contagious. The message of salvation, contagious. We have a C3 Jesus. He was connected. He was committed. He was contagious. Are you connected? He wants to be connected with you. Are you connected? You can be. You can be by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. Not by word, not by deed, but by grace through faith. You can become connected to Jesus. Christian, if you're connected, are you committed? Are you doing the things that you need to do to be growing daily? To really come to realize, what does Jesus want for me? What does he want me to do for him? What does all of this mean to me? Become committed. Join a Bible study. Join other Christians. If you're not with other Christians and the people that you're with aren't doing the things that they should do, you shouldn't be there either. You should be with other Christians who is trying their best to be committed as well. And then contagious. Christian, are you contagious? When you're around people, do they know who you are just by the excitement that you have? You know, in the field of medicine, there are diseases that are contagious, meaning that if I have it and I get around you, the chance of you getting it is pretty strong. That means I'm contagious and I can give that to you. But there's also those diseases that people carry that are just carriers. They just carry the disease, but they don't infect anyone else. There's contagious and then there's carriers. And you know, in the Christian faith, there are people who are contagious. They infect, they affect others with Jesus. They just do it. They're contagious. They just give people Jesus. But what's sad today is in churches all over America, all over this world, there are people who are just carriers. They just carry Jesus wrapped up in here. And they just hold it right there and say, I got Jesus, but I ain't giving him to you. I don't want to infect him on you. Listen, haven't we been carriers long enough? Don't we need to be contagious for Jesus? Don't we need to go and why don't we go start an epidemic for Jesus? Why don't we do that? Be connected. Be committed. Be contagious. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you give us the encouragement. Lord, you give us the fact that because of who you are and what you did for us on Calvary, Lord, that you want us to be connected. Lord, you connected to us. Lord, we just need to be connected to you. Lord, help us. Help us do that. Lord, if there's people here today that has never had that connection, oh, they can talk about you. Lord, they can talk about you. They know the words. Lord, they know the rituals. They know the motions. But, Father, they never really connected. Lord, and I pray, Lord, that today they become connected. Lord, they realize that they really need more than just words, Lord. They need the saving grace. Lord, help them be connected. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we as Christians become committed, surrendered to your will, Father, just as the example that Jesus gave. Lord, as he said, not my will but yours. Lord, help us all pray that prayer. Lord, then I pray that we all become contagious. Lord, we need to be. Lord, there's people out that just need Jesus. Lord, it doesn't matter where they are or what they're going through, Lord, they just need Jesus. Help us, oh Lord. Help us, Lord, to be the kind of Christian you want us to be. Lord, to be contagious. Lord, be with us in this time of invitation. Lord, loosen knuckles, Father, that they'll turn loose and make a decision for you, Lord. Break hearts today where hearts need to be broken. Father, we pray. This is your time of invitation. We give it to you. In Jesus' name, amen.